For those of you who were here last Sunday, you heard a sermon on sacred sexuality. So I thought I'd tone it back a bit this week and talk about discipleship. So reading from the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. Well, this morning we are going to explore the issue of what it means in your life and mine and in the life of this congregation to answer Jesus' call to follow him. And as a way to get into this topic, I want to take a look at this morning's gospel passage from the first chapter of Mark. And with an exceptional economy of words, by the time we get to only the 14th verse of this gospel, Mark has already introduced us to John the Baptist, told us of Jesus' baptism and his time of temptation in the wilderness, and that John had been arrested. So now he moves into the inauguration of Jesus' ministry. And Mark places the narrative in the area of Galilee, declaring that Jesus came, quote, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." Now, there are dozens of sermons in just those two verses alone, such as addressing the topics of what is the good news of God? What does it mean that time is fulfilled? What is the kingdom of God anyway? And what does it mean that it has come near? What does it mean to repent? And what exactly does believing in the good news really entail? Well, most likely, these verses were simply to act as a summary statement of sorts of what Mark plans to explore and go into further detail later in his gospel. And since the assigned lectionary gospel readings will deal primarily with the gospel of Mark throughout this entire year, we too will wait until these issues are fleshed out in more detail at a later time. That's why Mark moves quickly then to his story of Jesus calling his first disciples. And we're told that Jesus was walking along the Sea of Galilee. He saw a man named Simon, who will later be renamed Peter, and his brother Andrew. And both were casting a net into the sea. Now, I get a big kick out of Mark adding, "for they were fishermen." Like his readers needed an explanation of why two grown men were throwing a net into the sea. But Jesus simply tells them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And without any explanation of why, Mark tells us that they immediately left their nets and followed Jesus. And the same thing happens with Jesus' call to brothers James and John, who were also fishing, but this time in a boat, with their father and the hired men. So it was obviously the family business and their livelihood. And while they're immediately leaving seems quite odd on a literal level, the gospel writer is simply following the common literary pattern known as a call story, of which there are dozens throughout the Old and New Testaments. And a primary characteristic of most call stories is to explain the abruptness and the total commitment demonstrated by those being called by God. And in the case of Simon and Andrew, they gave up their profession in order to follow Jesus. And James and John gave up more than that, For they also violated the patriarchal system of their day by not asking permission of their father, who they simply left sitting alone in the boat. So rather than attaching too literal of an interpretation on these call stories, their primary purpose was to indicate that answering the call of God to discipleship always comes with a price. So we, like they, are being informed that we must be willing to give up something in order to bring the good news of God to others. That shouldn't really surprise us, because there is no ministry effort that doesn't bear a cost, whether it be in the form of the giving of our time, or our talents and abilities, and yes, sometimes our financial resources. Like I mentioned with the kids, sometimes it involves moving out beyond our own protective comfort zone. Now, a major point of the story of Jesus' calling of the first disciples is to indicate the response of those disciples called by God. The four fishermen, without any explanation of what Jesus was even calling them to do, responded by dropping everything and immediately followed Jesus by joining him in his ministry. Now, the Bible has some other examples of different kinds of responses of those being called by God. For example, remember what Moses' first response was? It was to say that he had a speech impediment and God better send somebody else. And Jonah's first response was to get into a boat and hightail it in the exact opposite direction of where God was asking him to go. So God, as we heard in this morning's Old Testament reading, had to call Jonah a second time. So here's what we are faced with. If you and I are also called by God in one fashion or another to a particular ministry of one type or another, which I believe we are by virtue of our baptism, then it makes sense that we should also pay very careful attention to how we respond. Even if we begin by giving some kind of justification of why God has got the wrong person or the wrong congregation, do we usually end up responding by following the call or not? Well, this congregation, for 103 years now, has a very long history of answering the call to discipleship. But concerning the actual call to discipleship itself, how do we hear, experience, or discern that call in the first place? Well, that, I believe, depends upon your understanding of God. Trying to precisely describe just how God calls us varies, I believe, from person to person. And I've always contended that God speaks to each individual's heart, mind, and spirit in the way and manner that that person can hear and understand. So again, that most likely depends upon your own theological understanding of God. So I go back to that question all the time. But not only that, how you hear and discern God's call may even change throughout your own journey of faith. It certainly has changed in mine. And I believe that there are a few things, however, that might help us and you and I and this congregation to hear and discern God's call to follow. So as far as your ministry efforts in your own personal life, as well as in the life of this congregation is concerned, I would suggest that God is calling you to the particular service that excites you the most, to the type of ministry that you feel most passionate about in your being, and the projects or even the outside organizations that energize you rather than drain you. And that is an exercise that I suggest each year at our annual session retreat, which we held just a couple of weeks ago. When each of the ruling elders sought to discern what ministry team to serve on during the coming year. So I would suggest that same exercise to each of you. And part of my role as the pastor of this congregation is to help you discern where God may be calling you to serve. But I'm not a mind reader. So if you need help discerning your call, please give me a call. And I'd be more than pleased to visit with you about it. It's that important to you and to the life and ministry of this congregation. Well, going back briefly to Mark's gospel story, the initial call to those four fishermen is quite focused. Upon hearing Jesus' call to follow, they started a new kind of fishing. Fishing for people. Now, if an element of our own calling is involved in that and has a similar directive, then what exactly does that mean? Well, I agree with most biblical interpreters that consider the phrase fish for people as a way to invite other people into a way of life that lives out and furthers the kingdom or realm of God in our midst. The term that perhaps best describes this element of discipleship is, you guessed it, evangelism. And while this term has fallen out of favor with most Presbyterians, it is one that we have tried very hard to reclaim here at College Hill over the years. And that's because evangelism itself doesn't have anything to do with any particular theological perspective, like evangelicalism. Rather, it's simply putting a focus on sharing the good news with others and inviting them to join us along their journey of faith within the context of this particular community of faith. But there's a very crucial question that should be asked often of every congregation, including ours. What difference would it make if this particular church didn't exist? What difference would it make if College Hill Presbyterian Church didn't exist? What difference would it make in your own personal life? Or what difference would it make in this neighborhood of Kendall Whittier, the larger community of Tulsa, within Eastern Oklahoma Presbytery, even within the entire denomination? While there may be many different answers to this question, your particular answer is an important piece of that good news that you can share with others. Reach out to others with the good news of God's inclusive love and grace, and our dedication to issues such as progressive theological thought, peace and justice, inclusivity, and providing a safe space where folks can explore and question their own journey of faith, just as you have, just as I have. Let this be a priority for us during the coming year. And remember the simplicity and the clarity of Jesus' call: follow me. For us, and especially for those who associate themselves with progressive Christianity, these two words, follow me, have way more to do with living a way of life in the manner that was taught by Jesus than it does giving intellectual assent to a particular set of theological doctrines. So as always, how you and I respond to that call to follow Jesus is up to each one of us, individually and as a congregation. Amen.